Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, December 6th, 2021, the second week of Advent. Let me ask you a question. What does Christmas mean to you? For most of us, it's a busy, busy time of year. It includes shopping for those last-minute gifts, getting the Christmas tree, decorating the house, inviting friends and family over for that special dinner. It's a lot of work in most lives. For some people, it's the most depressing time of year. It's the most difficult time of year. But Christmas has a very ancient, important meaning. It was the angel Gabriel that said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save from their sins." And the announcement was, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the meaning of Christmas. This is the ancient, most important meaning besides all of the things that I mentioned. It is preparing our hearts for the coming of Christ. It is celebrating the birth of a Savior, the birth of the promised Messiah in Bethlehem. This is what Christmas is all about. The incarnation of Christ, literally God with us. It is good news. And why do we have such good news at this time of year? Because it is the fulfillment of God's promises to his covenant people over thousands of years. From the time that our first parents sinned in the garden, the great and glorious paradise Garden of Eden, and we broke our fellowship with God. Sin entered the world bringing death and decay and separation from God. It was at that time that God announced in Genesis chapter 3 a coming promised Messiah, Redeemer. At that time when he could have shown nothing but judgment for our sinfulness, he instead showed mercy. And from that moment, he promised a coming Redeemer. And on through the pages of Scripture, the Old Testament, we see pronouncement after pronouncement that he will be born in Bethlehem. He will be born of a virgin. And here the announcement is he will save his people from their sins. You see, the problem is mankind has broken God's law. And Christmas is when the light of the world, Jesus, comes to restore that broken relationship, that fellowship that has been severed by the ugliness of sin. And so, yes, Christmas is about gifts, and for some people it's about St. Nicholas or Santa Claus. But for us who know the Lord, we prepare our hearts for the coming of the promised Messiah. And there is a name for that that I want to explain to us today. It's called the Incarnation. What does that mean? It means in the flesh. Literally, that means that God has come to us in human form, in human flesh. What is amazing about this great event that we call the Incarnation is that every world religion you can name, from Hinduism to Islam to Confucianism to Buddhism, all of them have a system, if you will, of salvation, of how we can appease a holy God through our good works. But in Christianity, God steps down from his royal throne and takes on human flesh to solve the sin problem himself. You see, it's not something that we can do with our great sincerity, our good intentions. We can never erase the sin guilt, the burden of sin against us. And so because God loves us so much, he did the work for us. It's the only quote-unquote religion in the world where God himself comes to us. All other religions is our trying to come to God in our own righteousness. It's our own effort to climb the stairway, if you will, to heaven and make ourselves right. But in Christianity, it is God who steps down from his royal throne, down the stairway from heaven, to come to us and fix the problem. There is a very verse of scripture in the book of Philippians that talks about this great event, the Incarnation. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Well, let me take a few minutes of your time this morning talking about the birth of Christ, the Incarnation. I want to unpack this rich, rich verse for you. Paul was dealing with a schism in the Philippian church. There were many people that were striving to be the center of attention. And there were those that were just haughty, self-conceited, we could say, focused on self. And it caused a great division in the church. And Paul wanted to make a point to the Philippian Christians that there needs to be unity in the church instead of division. And we need to have a proper attitude toward one another. That is the attitude of humility. And Paul takes the perfect example of humility to make his point. He said, "Philippians, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form or the morphe of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." He said, if you want to get along and have unity in the church, we must humble ourselves and be a servant to others, just like Christ, who, although he was and is God in the form of God, he did not use his equality with God as a privilege or a thing to be grasped. Wow, you can imagine the reaction of those he was writing this prison letter to. Look, be like Christ. Be lowly of mind. Humble yourself. Look, he was saying, he is God. But he did not use his relationship with God the Father and did not count it as something to grasp. He humbled himself, Paul says. And then the next sentence is so important. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself. What does that mean? Well, remember, God came to fix the problem of sin, to take away our sin. And in order to do that, he did something he had never experienced or done before. God emptied himself. Now, that has is a phenomenal example of humility. That is, Jesus, in the form of God, the very nature of God, down off of his throne in heaven as the second person of the Trinity and emptied himself. That is, he gave up his rights and privileges. He laid them aside. And in doing so, the next verse said, he took the form of a servant. Now that is, again, Paul saying, we need to serve one another. We need to have the mind of Christ. Don't count our privileges as something to be grasped. Lay them aside and serve each other as Jesus did when he, the great God of the universe, stepped down off his throne and clothed himself in humanity through the virgin birth. He emptied himself. He put aside his rights and privileges, even though he had every right to carry them. He became a servant, being born in the likeness of men. This is an allusion to the great virgin birth. You know the story. An angel, the angel Gabriel, appeared to Mary. Don't be afraid. You are going to conceive a son by the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus in the virgin birth, being born in the likeness of man, the incarnation, God taking on human flesh. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. Again, we see the step down. He humbled himself. From heaven, he takes the step down, becoming one of the human race, becoming one of us. And he humbled himself. He became a servant, and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Oh, my, the very God of the universe, the law perfectly. Jesus, the Son of God, obeyed every precept of the law without sin and became obedient. There was a plan in heaven in eternity that he would willingly suffer and die for our sins. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There is the message of the gospel, the humiliation of Christ at its greatest example. You know the scripture says that he died in our place. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We see the sinless Son of God taking our place, willingly laying down his life for us. The baby child born in a manger would grow up to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He would take the position of the Passover lamb, the perfect Passover lamb. His blood would be shed and smeared on the doorposts of our hearts so that the God of judgment would pass over us and save us. But that's not all. He not only died for our sins, but God did something. Remember, he's stepping down from eternity the steps down, humility. And now after humility and suffering comes exaltation. Therefore, God has exalted him, highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. This is the declaration of Jesus is Lord, the name above every name. When the Caesars commanded the early Christians to light the incense in worship of the Caesars, they refused to bow down and said, no, there is no Lord, there is no king over us but Jesus, not even Caesar. And because of their disobedience, the early Christians went to death. They were put. So Jesus now has been exalted after his humiliation and given a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a reference to Isaiah 45:23, where every knee will bow to Jehovah or Yahweh, and it's ascribing the title of deity to Jesus. This is the exaltation, the humiliation, the suffering, and now Jesus has been raised from the dead by the Father, and at his command, he has all authority in heaven and on earth, which means that everyone, every knee should bow. No one is exempt from this. He is Lord. Not Buddha, not Christian, not Allah, not Muhammad, no one but Jesus is Lord. The name of Jesus is highly exalted in the universe. And the last verse is, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the great event known as the Incarnation, where God himself stepped down off of his high and lofty throne, took on human flesh, and became one of us. Without recognizing this, no one can be saved. It is the teaching of the Antichrist to deny that Jesus is God, that Jesus is Lord. This is what sets Christianity above all other world religions and cults. Who Jesus is so important. Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they would answer, one of the prophets, etc., etc. And Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? This Christmas, it is so important to come to the table of fellowship and recognize that Jesus is the heart. Christmas, underneath that tree where we unwrap all of those presents we've patiently waited for, Jesus is that treasure that we unwrap, that gift from God that can never be earned, that is given to us. And that's why in this season, we prepare our hearts for the coming of a Savior. He is God with us. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's who he is. Not a prophet, not an exalted being, not a great teacher. No, God Almighty in human flesh has come to visit us. And our response to the Incarnation, to this great event called the birth of Christ, is one of worship. It's one of adoration. What did the Magi, the three kings from the Orient, do? They brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they sat down and they worshiped the king. That was their response. That should be our response. And here to help us do that is one of my favorite Christian artists, Chris Tomlin. Let us prepare our hearts for the coming of the King. Let us adore.
Angels sing praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall.
Beautiful worship music of Chris Tomlin, Adore. We find it in the pages of Scripture, Luke chapter 2, the story of the birth of Jesus. And this is so important as we read and understand this story. We are witnessing what I mentioned to you, the great event called the Incarnation. And it is a story of worship, of celebration. The angels announced this great event to the shepherds. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is what the Christmas season is all about. It's not the story of another religion from the past, another ancient religion. It is the story of God's love and concern for humankind, for his people, for his creation. Christianity is not some old ancient religion. In one sense it is, but the real meaning of Christianity is not religion, but a love relationship with God through Christ. That is what Christmas is all about. And so as we gather at our table this year and we open our presents and celebrate together, let us never forget that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his greatest gift, the Lord Jesus, for our salvation. I hope that that's going to be the spirit of your Christmas celebration this year. And as you gather together, as Chris Tomlin rightfully sang, let us come, let us adore him. Not for just this one night and one moment, but let us make it a lifetime of adoration, a lifetime of worship in response to the great incarnation, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Never forget, he gave up everything to rescue us from our sin. I want to say thank you so much today for setting aside the time to join me on my radio program. There won't be a program this Thursday, but next Monday I will continue on the theme of the Christmas celebration and what it means. Very poignantly, it means Jesus, God with us. I want you to have an incredibly good week. Stay safe. Don't be too much in a hurry. Keep well. God bless you, and I will see you again on Monday live on the Cross in the Desert.